Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Cubby.
She looks so delicious.
Oh, she's so cute. She's just hanging in Mama's little leg nook.
It's her favorite spot. How are you doing, Sicky?
I am okay. I am holding down my cough as we speak.
She's on the mend.
I'm on the mend, though. Yeah, I'm definitely feeling way better than I was the past couple days.
Yeah, you were really kind of down bad for a couple days there.
Yeah. I was like winded just taking a couple steps. It wasn't a vibe.
Oh, no. But you're back.
I feel better.
You feel better.
Yes.
Yay.
So we have kind of an interesting convo that we wanted to have today. I feel like it's been really relevant as social media has taken control of our world, really. And we spend so much time on social media and connecting on social media. And we've also simultaneously had a lot of earth-shattering world events happen over the last couple of years. And there have been loud conversations about things, which is great because awareness needs to be raised. And it's also confusing for a lot of people because I think a lot of people have discomfort around speaking up. When are they supposed to use their voice? Do they have to? Like, especially pertaining to social media, how much are we supposed to speak out about things? And what are the social expectations for how to use social media in regards to politics, in regards to social justice, in regards to speaking on personal battles, you know, like, and we just had some thoughts on it.
You guys, we've lived through like 47 unprecedented life events in the last like 6 years.
Yeah.
There have been more unprecedented events in the last 5 years than I think ever in human history, which is a joke.
Well, I would say not all of them were unprecedented. I think, unfortunately, a lot of people have been made aware in some very intense ways of things that have been going on for a very long time.
Yeah, it's true.
Some things were unprecedented, though, like COVID.
I mean, COVID, but then do you guys want to know? And I'm not making a joke of this at all, but I remember when the Russia-Ukraine war started and we were just off the heels of COVID. Like, we were just getting out of COVID. And then all of a sudden, this massive event happens that's tragic. And there's so many question marks around world powers and things like that. And I remember just being like, God fucking damn.
Yeah, dude.
We cannot catch a break.
No.
Nobody in this world can catch a break right now.
Well, part of that too is about how we now have access to information about everything that's going on at all times.
It's so true.
So it's a big world with billions of people. There's going to be shit going on at all times. And we are hearing about a lot of it. Not all of it, for sure, not all of it, but we're hearing about a lot and definitely way more than our brains are biologically wired to handle. And it's intense. It's intense. It's scary. It makes you feel like, oh, this is the worst time ever in human history. The world is going to shit, blah, blah, blah. When by a lot of metrics, this is actually a great time to be alive.
What a time to be alive, you guys.
That's Casey's dying words.
That's literally, that would be the last thing that I would say if someone asked me to just say one phrase and then I peaced out of this earth.
What I would say I love you.
That's
sorry,
so
that was super corny. Okay, I'm done.
But I would say that. I was just thinking about this and talking about this to somebody recently. But, you know, it used to be that with something like a school shooting, I remember in the early 2000s and early 2010s, there would be nonstop coverage of these trials. You think about the Casey Anthony trial. You think about the Scott Peterson trial. You think about these massive social... It was everywhere, you know, like it was posted everywhere. It was talked about on every news channel. The trials were live streamed, you know, they were these massive deals. And then you had the first, obviously Columbine was in 1999 or something like that. But in the 2000s and the early 2010s, you had this flurry of like mass shootings and public shootings. And now you guys, there are so many that I don't watch the news, but I don't even know if they hit the news. And I know the trials aren't hitting the news. I don't really know what to make of it, though. And I mean, there's definitely an uptick of mass shootings and things like that. That's mm-hmm. just a measured metric of something that we know. Mm-hmm. But it's fucking crazy, for lack of a better word, of just how much is happening.
I wonder too about publicizing certain trials and stuff. I wonder too if just the tone of media and social acceptance around that type of stuff has shifted a little bit. So I just wonder if press hesitates to, or like if there's not as much interest in that area as there once was. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember a friend of mine growing up going to her house and her mom would have the news on at all times. And Nancy Grace on CNN was on. And this woman had commentary on every freaking thing going on, you know, in these, I remember the Aurora, Colorado shooting, particularly amongst a couple of other large events happening back then. But yeah, it's an interesting question. And then it also begs the question too, of if there's any evidence that maybe showed that publicizing them to that level then creates more people like copycats and things like that. I'm not really sure if that's backed by anything, but I would just be curious if it was, but
I'm not sure either. What it does do is it definitely doesn't give a person a shot at a fair trial. That's what it definitely does.
That's true. But now we all have platforms. You don't have to be Nancy Grace. You don't have to be on CNN. You don't have to be a news anchor. You can be Joe Schmo, and we all have a TikTok. Honestly, I'm not on TikTok, but my boss and I were laughing so hard one time because people just make, I didn't know that this happened, but people make these commentary videos where they basically like play a video and then I sound like an old person right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, this is what happened with Janet and her husband. Well, and people they sound like a freaking news anchor. I'm like, who are you?
Yeah. Well, people have YouTube channels where their entire channel is based on like reading out true crime cases. Crazy. Where they're telling the story of someone's disappearance or someone's murder or whatever is relevant, whatever they want to talk about. But true crime is a huge like genre for entertainment. It's actually terrifying.
I'm not even talking about just true crime though on TikTok. I'm talking about like pop culture. They like act like they're news anchors on TikTok being like, Kylie Jenner and Timothy Chalamet were spotted. I'm like, okay. All right, Lisa Ling or whatever her name is.
I love her.
No shade to Lisa Ling. No, hell no. She's the greatest reporter ever. And I saw her at the Santa Monica Stairs one time. When I see her at the Santa Monica Stairs, I'm like, you're a legend.
I wanted to be her assistant for the longest time.
Is that her name?
Lisa Ling.
Lisa Ling, yeah. Okay. There's another woman that I thought was kind of mistaking her for. But that's all to say that now we all have these platforms. And there's this huge question as we go through all of these unprecedented events of who's responsible to speak about what and how to use your platform. And there's a little bit of a conversation around if you're a platformed person who has power on social media versus if you're me who is nobody on social media and kind of who has responsibility.
Less influence.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing, you guys. Not everyone that has a platform, we have a lot of people who have platforms for different reasons these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just because you're...
It's not at all because you're an informed citizen.
No. No. And I think that there are so many people with platforms today that are, I'm so sorry, but just not equipped to speak about the magnitude of a lot of things that are going on in a way that's productive,
responsible,
and responsible in this world.
Totally.
And I think about this all the time of the pressure to say something for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation around misinformation has to be had.
Yeah.
How dangerous it is to spread misinformation,
mm-hmm.
but also just in general, trying to say something and kind of watering down the space, in my opinion, doesn't feel productive at all.
Well, it's performative.
Exactly.
Is what it is.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean anything. And going back to what you were saying, the pressure that's put on people to say something still on the subject of celebrity or someone with a really large platform, you see so often in their comments, people angrily trying to force something out of them. Say this, say this, say this. And there's so many layers to that that are interesting to me. One being, like we said before, if someone doesn't know about something, it's highly irresponsible for them to say anything about it. Like, why are we looking to these people to be our news sources?
Yeah.
They're the complete opposite.
It's like a reality TV star.
Or anybody, not a single one of these people that we're trying to force a statement out of has any background or credentials to be able to speak on highly sensitive world events unless they have personal experience that's given them that perspective that's helpful mm-hmm. for the conversation and that moves things forward mm-hmm. and that shares a story that people should hear and should learn. And in that way, it is really similar to an individual without a platform. It's like, if you have personal experience in anything in life, I think it's really valuable to share.
Absolutely.
One, because it can connect you to people. You can build community, potentially a supportive community. And also because you, as corny as it sounds, never know who you're helping. And anytime things stay quiet, there's more of a likelihood for there to be shame surrounding whatever subject matter that is. Mm-hmm. And then so many people going through it are feeling shame and feeling alone, whatever. And if someone speaks up about it, then the bubble of shame is kind of popped and people can realize this is a human experience that many people are having. And maybe we can all talk about it. Maybe we can start really productive dialogue about where does this thing stem from? How do we approach it? Is it just? Are people suffering in silence? Like,
yeah. No, I think you're so right. I think that for individuals, I don't think that people should feel pressured to comment on something that they have no valid insight on.
No.
I think it's just reckless and irresponsible. And at the end of the day, it waters down the community spaces of what we're talking about. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And I think it's almost more harmful than helpful.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, one thing when we were kind of talking about having this conversation that I had was, one thing that I think is really responsible and a cool idea is for people, particularly who are platformed, but honestly, people who aren't either. Carly and I, like, we're not anybody on social media, but creating a community space and posing questions where people can come and have respectful dialogue and learn about something, I think is a cool way for people to get involved when they're not experts, but they want to productively create a space where people can learn and yeah. understand themselves included. You know what I mean?
And I don't know. Yeah, that's really interesting. I even wonder if it's scary too, if you're somebody who has no way of knowing that the information you're fielding is accurate or not
yeah.
because you have no concept of
that's so true.
What's really going on. Like, for me, it's most responsible to go learn from people who have a lot of knowledge and have yeah. a lot of personal experience. And if you feel really inclined to share something, you really want to speak, I think that it's really productive to just be like, hey, this isn't an area of expertise for me at all. Like, I'm really compassionate here. I really would like to
yeah.
find a higher level of understanding what this experience might be like for people and find a way to support productively with the little knowledge that I have, you know, but I really feel like my role here is to just learn more.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we all do have life experience of our own. We have valuable life experience of our own.
Yeah.
It's not always going to mirror each other. We're not always going to be able to relate to everybody about everything that's ever happened to them.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely impossible to expect everyone to have an educated opinion about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think it's just an impossible expectation that we have from people and of ourselves. Like, you just can't know everything about everything because at a certain point, you just don't know what you don't know. You don't even know that there are things out there that exist that you have no concept of. Mm-hmm. How are you even going to find it to learn about it until mm-hmm. something comes up? And then that's the opportunity in your life to go learn about something new that you didn't know about. And that's not a shameful thing. Like, we have to give ourselves and other people space and grace for what they don't know and for what they haven't experienced and for what they haven't learned about. And at the same time, there's willful ignorance. So if you refuse to listen to or yeah. believe people and what they're representing as their life experience and as their learning and understanding that they've earned with blood, sweat, and tears, you know, or with yeah. hours and hours of participation, you know, that's a totally different thing. Like it's fine and fair for you to not have had a certain life experience or for you to not have had the opportunity to really dive deep into learning about something.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are trying to have a loud and proud opinion about something that you don't know anything about, that you haven't experienced for yourself, and that you hear a lot of people speak about from their own personal experience, and you just choose not to listen, choose not to believe, and still speak loudly and proudly on that thing, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a big problem. That's like the main time that I would say, shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
Shut up.
Was that from that song?
Motherfucker.
No, shut the fuck up. I gotta Google it, you guys. I can't remember, but it's some rap song.
Mm.
I'll never, like, how am I gonna figure out a Google shut the fuck up in a rap song? Said like in every rap song.
Yeah, but that's like the only time that I would say to somebody, don't speak. Do not speak. I mean, there are many times that I would say it's a better idea not to speak, for sure. That's not the only time, but that is probably one of the worst times to use your voice, is to spread uninformed opinions passionately and proudly.
Oh my God, 2020 was a bloodbath for that, you guys.
Really? For so many reasons.
That was such chaos on the internet.
Yeah.
I remember navigating the internet after everything happened with George Floyd and just feeling like it was, what a time to be alive. It was such a chaotic place. And there were so many people that honestly did not have the qualifications to be speaking on the things that they were speaking on. And I just remember feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Overwhelmed, you know? Yeah. And kind of off of what you were just saying, but kind of the opposite. You know, I remember when we went to the protest, and I was so grateful to be there. We made signs. And one of the things that people on the internet at that time were saying was, silence is violence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say this and then follow it up with why, but I kind of regret holding a sign that said silence is violence, only because it feels like willful ignorance is violence, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'm wrong on this. Like, I'm willing to have a dialogue about this. It just feels like, looking back, there were so many people that were just saying things because they wanted to make sure they were like ticking the box again, performative, you know what I mean? And it felt like it created an even more difficult space to navigate when we were talking about something as important as what we were talking about. And we really needed there to be fact-based information. Like, the situation that was going on was so important.
Yeah.
For our country.
Yeah.
And the conversations that were being had were so important. And if you understand anything about mass incarceration, you understand that slavery has continued until today via mass incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
And so the conversations that were happening were the most important that could have been happening. But it was stressful to navigate because it felt like people took that sentiment. And I think that there was some like kind of attention seeking on some people's parts, but I think other people took that sentiment and they wanted to make sure that they weren't viewed as a violent or hateful person.
Yeah.
You know, but I think back now, and I don't know that the silence is violence, but I think the willful ignorance is violence, and the decision to not learn and understand about the reality of the situation, not what you want to believe the reality of the situation is. Yeah. If you are not a person who is experiencing racism and prejudice and all these things, you don't get to discuss what their experience is.
Yeah.
It's not yours.
Yeah.
It's not yours. You get to shut your ass up and listen to what their experience is.
Yeah.
That's end of the story.
Yeah. Willful ignorance for sure is violence. I think to what that slogan was trying to get at was, people who have the privilege, and that word is really touchy, but people who have the privilege of looking the other way when things are happening.
Yeah.
Because it's not happening to you or your loved ones. That's silence. And it's ignoring. It's willful ignorance. And I also think not saying anything out of fear of any feedback that you would receive is also silence that is violent.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's the nuance that people are missing in speaking up, which is that saying something doesn't have to be an all or nothing, loud, intense opinion. It can just be, you know, like, I am strongly emotionally impacted by what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. And I have so much empathy and compassion for my community, my friends, my peers who might be seriously impacted by this. Mm-hmm. And like, I would love to learn more. I would love to learn how to support. And, you know, like, I have such a heart for you, you know, and that is kind and warm and generous and real if you really feel that way, you know, like,
yeah,
being able to just express yourself where you're at and show people I care about you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the point of speaking up, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And if you have your own personal story to share that you feel would be valuable and helpful to people, that's incredible too. But if you don't, it's about your heart. It's about sharing your heart and sharing your love. That's what community is. And that's what social media is supposed to be about.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like community, you know, like, that's where you can make social media a positive, loving, warm place where it's like, hey, I have so much respect for the pain that I can see that mm-hmm. you're experiencing and for the hard road that you've walked, you know, and I want to open my eyes to your reality and I want to figure out how to be like an ally to other people, no matter what it is they're going through, whether it's being marginalized for their sexuality, whether it's, you know, families of people who are incarcerated or incarcerated individuals, whether it's people who are experiencing racism, sexism, literally any issue. There are a million fucking problems.
So true.
And we can't have experienced them all. Some people go through way more than others, and that's just a fact of life. And it's really unfair and really unfortunate. And that gives those of us who haven't had to suffer through certain things, I think, a responsibility to learn how to use what we have to uplift other people.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that's just with love, even if we don't have that much, we might not be rich, we might not have status that we can, you know, leverage, but we have a heart and we have our words. I know, delicious.
Oh my God, that's cute.
Oh my God.
Wait, don't.
I'm sorry. Don't get her excited.
Sorry. I'm sorry. She's
hiding. We have to take advantage of this.
I know. She's really snug as a bug in a rug, you guys.
I know.
And I want to
hang out.
Okay, I want to be snug as a bug in a rug too.
But, and also, let me say, I don't think that me saying all of this doesn't mean that I think everyone needs to rush to their phone and say something all the time. I definitely don't think that at all. I've had plenty of things come up that are really heartbreaking that I feel deeply for, and I don't know if there's anything responsible for me to say, or, and, you know, and mm-hmm. I don't want to make any situations about me that are so far from being about me, you know, and I think a lot of us grapple with these questions in our minds of when, why, and how to participate in the conversations that are being had publicly. And silence is not always violence, for sure. But I think that that slogan was trying to speak about, like you said, willful ignorance and silence for fear of how you would be perceived or feedback that you would get, rather than doing the right thing and supporting your community members who have suffered.
It's so real too, the idea that the privilege of being able to look away
mm-hmm.
just goes to show you how different of lives people on this earth experience.
Well, but that's literally exactly what privilege is. That word irks some people to the depths of their core because they think
it's because they're privileged.
Yes. Well, because they feel slighted, like, but I've been through stuff too. They internalize it as people are trying to say that I've never been through anything or that I don't know what it feels like to be hurt. And it's not about that. It's about there are certain things that you'll never have to go through because of where you were born, what you look like, your gender sometimes, yeah, your sexuality, like all of these things that you won't have to go through how it feels to be hated for who you are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you've never been through anything. Like, there are people of every race and every ethnicity that have suffered. Everyone on earth has suffered, definitely to varying degrees, extreme differences. But yeah, it's not about that. It's about recognizing that there are certain things that you'll never have to go through.
Yeah.
And that that's a privilege.
Nobody tweak the word.
I also think it's interesting the concept of, is it our responsibility to try to learn about everything?
Mm.
You know?
That's interesting.
Like, do we need to know something about everything that's going on?
Oh, fuck. You know, I think at the end of the day, for me, it all comes down to intention with people of the goodness behind their intention to, like you said, just have like a warm-hearted approach to an openness, general openness to people suffering and understanding that they can't know how that person feels because they've never experienced that, regardless of experiencing their own things. The answer to your question is, I think it's important as humans that we stay open and curious.
Yes.
To as much as possible. And the more that we stay open and curious to each other's life experiences, the more as a human race, we'll all start to hold hands and band together and also see that our humanity is a lot more connected than it is separated. And so many of our... Oh my God. Don't worry, princess.
I couldn't believe
it. I have to see the video of that.
Our community is a lot more...
Yeah, our world, our experiences. You sit and you talk with people that you don't think you have anything in common with. We have these experiences every time we go into a prison.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And we end the day and we're all looking at each other like, that's my dog. Mm-hmm. That's my fucking friend right there. Like, I like think of them as my community there and my friends, and how much you can relate to and understand about each other having such different life experiences is amazing. And I think that that's really such a missing piece in this world is just general openness and a desire to learn and understand and also decide that you don't know everything. There's so much all-knowingness from people that I see. And that's disappointing because that completely shuts you off from truth and from other people's truth. And that's kind of how I feel about that.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing in that.
Yes,
I don't.
Queen.
Yes.
We're on the same page.
Always. I was going to say, I don't necessarily think that it's realistic for people to, every time they see something in the world, they immediately buy a book or like, you know, go watch 10 documentaries or try to find people to learn from. I think it's beautiful to be motivated to do that. And I think that it is important for people to be motivated to learn about each other.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to live in a loving world and a loving society, and totally in line with you and with what you said, I think that more important than it is for us to try to immediately go learn everything about everything, it's crucial for us to decide not to make our minds up about something that we have no experience with.
Yeah.
I think that the flexibility of, like you said, being open-minded to learning something new or to understanding that there's a lot more nuance to life than we usually let into our perspectives. And we think things are black and white, things are right or they're wrong. And it's just not like that.
Yeah, I listen, this echoes what I've already said in this conversation, but I think that at the end of the day, the real travesty is when as humans, we don't keep ourselves open and malleable to changing our mind and to learning new things that we don't maybe understand from personal life experience. And I think about this all the time. That's why we have friends. Me and my family, you know, as a unit, we've experienced a lot of the same things. As individuals, we've all had our own journeys, but I learned so much from my friends. They live completely different lives than I have, and they've grown up different, but you know, I think that that's really the travesty in all of it is when people close themselves off to learning and understanding. And I think that with all of us having a platform today, there can be such a beautiful moment of openness where, like she said earlier, if you have rich life experience and you're someone with 7 followers, share it. Mm-hmm. You have no idea how that's hitting someone. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And that's the coolest part. That is hands down the coolest part of all of us being platformed today, is that it can connect us in the best way possible. It also can disconnect us, but that's this conversation for the social media episode that we're not planning on doing. I guess this is kind of a social media episode. But yeah, I just think that there's so much power in sharing your story and experience, but it's very irresponsible to share what you don't know and understand. And there are so many people with platforms that honestly are not equipped to speak about so much going on in this world. And
yeah,
you know, misinformation or watered down soulless information, I don't think is useful to forward so many of these massive issues that we're dealing with today. So
yeah, could not agree more. And I don't think that we should want uninformed people speaking loudly about very sensitive subjects.
Yeah.
I don't think that that should be the goal of the world, is to pressure everybody into speaking on things. Look, if somebody doesn't have a heart to speak on something, why would we want them speaking on it?
So true. It's so true.
Why would we want people who don't feel emotionally connected to something or don't have any knowledge or expertise in that area to say something about it? Like, you're just begging someone to be inauthentic or yeah. to lack compassion or to spread misinformation. Like, every outcome of that is unhelpful.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think we really need to be better as people about not hounding others and just, again, like, let people show you who they are and what they're about.
And if you don't align with it, don't pay attention to them.
Exactly.
Do not pay attention to them. We're like trying to force everybody to be who we want them to be, and it's not going to happen. Like, find people that you align with, that inspire you, that uplift you, and follow those people. Pay attention, connect, you know, like
yeah.
build community in areas where you feel aligned. But otherwise, hating people for not being who you want them to be or not doing what you want them to do is such a waste of time and energy.
You know what Pop says? Sometimes he's like, this is not an airport. You do not need to announce your departure.
Oh my God.
Just unfollow them, babe. You don't need to tell them.
Literally.
Just move the fuck on. This is not an airport, okay? And you do not need to announce your departure. Just don't let the door hit you on the way out.
That is really funny when people are like, unfollowing.
They're like, you really disappointed me on this, and I'm unfollowing you. Okay. Sayonara, motherfucker. Nobody's ever done that to me.
Well, we don't have any fans.
Nobody cares. People probably think that some shit that I say is stupid, but that's okay. I'm at peace with that. And you can write to me and be like, you know what, Casey? This shit was stupid. And I'll be like, let me think about that. Okay.
You can be maybe a little nicer than
that. Yeah, that's
that.
True. Yeah, don't say that shit was stupid. That's kind of mean, but...
maybe, like, that came across unkind.
Yeah.
Or uninformed.
Boom. Kindness on the internet, y'all.
Yes.
It's a lost art.
Yes. But yeah, so I think we're done. If anybody ever has any feedback on what we talk about, we really love having those conversations with people. So
we do.
If you guys have thoughts, please send them to us and it can spark a dialogue. That's something that we're really excited about starting this podcast, is to get to chat with people about their thoughts, and maybe we can open our minds more than they are right now to other ways of thinking and to maybe some ignorance that we have that we can try and overcome.
Yeah. And also, hopefully we can open up this platform to people who have expertise in areas eventually.
Yes.
That, just like we talked about earlier, you know, we're not really experts on much. We have our own life experience, but I think that's something that we're really looking forward to, is being able to bring on people with opposing viewpoints, or opposing viewpoints isn't even the word to say, but just
people who
different
can
life
really
experience
teach us.
Yeah, who can teach us and teach you guys, and we can all be learning stuff together and create some kind of open-minded community that wants to learn.
Yeah.
So
yes. Okay, well, okay. I love you.
Love you more.
Bye
Boom, bitch. Yeah. Bodie, shut up.
Bodhi. Dog for sale. Cub.
What do you have to say?
Cub, you're shedding a lot.
She has nothing to say.
Cub's on that perk 30.
Oh my God.
Cub's on that Xanny.
It's not.
Just kidding. She's on gabapentin. She's not. She is not on Xanax. She's on gabapentin for her toe.
Her infected, hurting toe. I don't make people think that I drug my dog. Okay, wait,
but can you loop your head over and look at how much fur is right there? You have to look right there.
It's because I've been scratching her.
It's like
so
much.
How much does our hair match? Oh my God, perfectly.
Nah, this was on fucking purpose, okay? You're not slick.
Casey, that's scary.
Okay, wait, let me take a pic. Oh, wait, look at me. Look at her eyes.
Okay.
Bye. Go Lakers.